Take your Bibles, if you would, please, today. And if you would, open up to Exodus and chapter number 6 in the Word of God today. Exodus and chapter number 6 in the Word of God. And as you find your place here in Exodus chapter number 6, would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word. Exodus and chapter number 6 in the Word of God today. And as we find our place there, if your health allows you to, would you please stand for the reading of God's Word. And for those of you who are visiting with us, we've been in a series now over the last 6 weeks entitled Heroes of the Faith. And we've been going through this story of Moses, just looking at kind of some highlights of his life. And last week we found ourselves in chapter number 5. And really just kind of piecing together this man's life. And again, I said it last week, I just want to say it again, this week. What I love about these characters in the Word of God is that you and I often find these stories, and if you've grown up in church, you know them very well. But what I love about their lives is sometimes we almost put them up perhaps on this pedestal. Like, oh, yeah, I can never live like that guy's life. Oh, yeah, I can never do what that guy did. Yeah, Peter walked on water. You know, Joseph was second in the land of all of Egypt. You know, what's his name? That guy, yeah, built an ark or something like that. I mean, what talent. And Ruth and Esther. And, man, you talk about Jacob and all these men and all these women. Just, my God, you say, yeah, I can never do that. But what I love about the Word of God is that all of these people that we're going to learn about, they were just like you and me. They made mistakes. They walked the same road and of life that you and I walk. And they made their fair share of mistakes. They came back. Oftentimes they were used of God. But the difference maker in their life often is what we're going to learn about today. The difference maker in their life was not that you just had some type of talent that was out of this world incredible that when you looked at it, you say, I never have talent like that. No. Well, the difference maker in their life was they were willing to allow God to use them. And when God used them, boy, I'm telling you, watch out. It is amazing in the life of these men and these women. What God is able to do is not something that you and I say, well, it only happened in the Old Testament. Well, yeah, okay, so it happened 2,000 years ago. No, if you and I give our lives to God, watch what can happen. And today I want to look once again at the story of Moses. We don't have it up on the PowerPoint. I do apologize. We're very close. Actually, this one is completely shot. It's gone. We have two new ones, I do believe, that are ordered. They're going to come in. They're going to be bright. We're going to give you 3D glasses. It's going to be, I'm just kidding. But they are going to be really nice, okay? They're going to be really cool. You say they're not 3D? I ruined it. Pastor Chris, I just ruined it, okay? Now we get in. They're not even going to be cool anymore. Anyways, let's look at Exodus and chapter number 6. And would you look or follow along, or if you don't have a Bible today, that's quite all right. Just listen as I read verse number 28. Almost at the very end of this chapter, chapter number 6, look at verse number 28. The Bible says this. And it came to pass on the day when the Lord spake unto Moses in the land of Egypt. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I am the Lord. Speak thou unto Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, all that I say unto thee. And Moses said before the Lord, behold, I am uncircumcised lips, and how shall Pharaoh hearken unto me? For just a couple of moments, I'd like to really kind of dwell just on this thought or topic, really looking at the obedient Christian. The obedient Christian. Let's go to him in prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, so much for your word. Thank you, God, for who you are, what you do. Father, I ask, Lord, for strength today in my voice and my health, God. Lord, thank you for those who are tuned in via live stream today. Lord, if they're not well enough to be here, or maybe they're around the globe at this very moment, Father, I ask, Lord, that they be tuned into your word. Help them, Father, to turn off TikTok for a little while, or Instagram, or Facebook, or the news, I guess Price is Right is going to start here in a little bit. Help them to turn that off and to tune in just for a little bit what you have for us. God, take away the distractions right in here, right now. Father, there's no doubt when a message like this is going to be preached, Satan has seen the notes. His minions have seen the notes. He wants to, Father, bring something in this room that would distract us from hearing what you'd have us to hear. Father, in a day and age where we take more time getting physically ready in front of a mirror to come to church than we do spiritually ready in front of a Bible. Forgive us, God, but still work on our hearts and our lives. Lord, move as only You can move. Father, You are the way maker. God, You are the miracle worker. You are the King of kings and Lord of lords. Father, have free reign today. We love You, Savior. In Your Son's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We've seen now through the life of Moses, his parents, the faith that his parents had and the great impact that his mom had upon his life. The fact that Moses in the book of Hebrews had to give it all up to live the life that he lived. We find him in the backside of a desert and this shocking call, the shy response that he gave to the Lord, saying, I can't be used. You got the wrong guy. I'm not eloquent of speech. There's no way I can walk back into Egypt after some 40 years now and do this task that You have given me, God, to do. And then God working in his life and God using this man takes him and his brother, and we saw last week, brings them in before Pharaoh. We saw in chapter number 5 and verses number 1 and 2 that Moses does speak those words to Pharaoh. I want you, Pharaoh, God has said to let my people go. In verse number 2, Pharaoh is very honest with Moses and says, I'm not going to let your people go. They're not going to go worship outside of the city limits. And there is no way they're going to leave. And to be honest with you, I don't know who you are and I don't know who your God is. Therefore, in this meeting, Pharaoh walks away from it and says, look, it's very obvious that these people have too much time on their hands. And so therefore, what I gather from this meeting is, number one, we're not going to let these people go. And number two, we're going to make it more difficult on them. I want you to go out, leaders, and I want you to tell the taskmasters that understand this. Now, not only are you going to be slaves and servants, but we're not going to gather hay for you anymore. You're going to have to make just as many bricks as you have been making, but we're not going to give you the hay to do it. You're going to have to gather the hay for yourselves. And so we find in chapter number 5, verses number 6 through 19, they're now making bricks from stubble instead of hay. They are not keeping up. They go back into Pharaoh. They begin to complain to him. Look, there's not as many bricks that are being made. That this is not our fault. This isn't on us. This is on you. This is on your people. This is on the Egyptians. They're not giving us the hay that we need. Therefore, because we're having to send men out to go collect it, we're not bringing in good hay. We're bringing in stubble. And because of that, we're not getting the amount of bricks made that you want made. And so this is not on us. And Pharaoh sends him out and says, it is on you. You have too much time on your hands. You want to go out and worship this God that Moses came in and said, look, I'm not going to have it. So they leave that meeting, obviously very discouraged at this moment. There's no doubt these people are leaving saying, I wish we'd have never met Moses. I wish he'd never came in and even had this meeting. They find Moses on the way back, and in verses number 22, here is Moses' reply in chapter number 5. He says this, and Moses returned to the Lord and said, Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? Why is it that thou hast sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he hath done evil to this people, neither hast thou delivered thy people at all. I mean, you know, hold on, tune in for just a moment. We'll move into chapter number 6. But check this out. Would you not be the same way? Moses is minding his own business. God comes to him in a burning bush. He says, here's what I want you to do. He gives him all the signs and all the wonders. He even gives him Aaron to go back and work. Moses finally gets up the courage, walks in with Aaron, with the leaders, says, God said that we're supposed to go out and we're supposed to worship him. He wants us to be free. Pharaoh gets upset. I don't know your God. I'm going to make it tougher on your people. The people are now mad at not only the taskmasters, they're mad at God and they're mad at Moses. In fact, in verse number 20 says, look, you've literally given our enemies a sword in their hands. This isn't even fair. So Moses, being very human then, walks back, and it's not, it's not this super Christian that is like, well, by faith it's going to happen. Well, to be honest with you, when we see this happen, you know, we're going through a valley, but it's okay. You just follow me, and we're going to get you free. No. He does what probably most of us would have done. Go back to God. God, this doesn't seem real fair. God, I don't know if you know or not, but, you know, I went in and kind of made a mess of things because you told me to go in and make a mess of things. And now, because of this, that they're being really cruel, super mean, bullies. Not God. Now not only are they mad at the Egyptians, they're mad at us, God, because I'm the one that came in and did all this. But God, don't you remember, you told me to. And so in chapter number 6 then, God tells Moses once again, I want you to go into Pharaoh and tell him to let my people go. Moses then begins to have this conversation with God and to kind of go back and forth. And then we find it in verses number 14 through verses number 25 of this chapter that God gives Moses the genealogies and once again this renewed promise that I'm going to watch out. I'm going to get my people out of bondage. But what Moses is faced with, now what if I tune in, watch this. Now, I just gave you like 2 chapters worth of information. I could have just read it. We all would have been standing up here, but I just gave it to you. So swallow it for a moment and then watch this. The task that Moses now has is not an easy task. At first, he's got like all the leaders walking in there like, yeah, he talked to God. I mean, this dude, look what he can do with his staff. And look what he does when he pours water out. And look who he's got with his brother. Have you heard this dude speak? This guy's incredible. Like the leaders are walking in with Moses, the first meeting, like, this is awesome. We're out of here. This is great. Now the second time, it's not so easy anymore. And you got to put yourself in this situation. First time, good, great. We got this. It's maybe even some overconfidence, but it was confidence in God nonetheless. But now walking in, things have changed. Pharaoh said, no thank you. Make it harder. Now Moses has to go have a meeting with God, have a meeting with his own brothers who are mad at him, and now he's got to go back into Pharaoh. But I want us to comprehend for just a moment, it's not only just the faith, as we saw in the first 2 messages, that it took for Moses to do and to accomplish what he did, as we saw in the Word of God. But I want us to concentrate for a moment his obedience. You see, in 2021, listen very carefully, obedience really is not a very popular concept today. In fact, I doubt Time Magazine is going to put a full portrait on the outside of their magazine and name the person of the year and with this title of, well, he just obeyed God. Person of the year, here it is right here. Let's all give him a big hand. He just obeyed God. To be honest with you, in the day that you and I live, in today's culture, it is more popular to resist authority, and especially the authority of God, than it is to obey it. Flaunting self rather than complying to God's will. But it's still true. I love the hymn that we sing. It has one verse that says this: there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And what Moses demonstrated as a godly leader is it is better to obey God. It is still better to follow what He has for us. It is still okay to step out by faith, yes, but step out by faith and obey God. How many are saved today? Say amen. Okay, let's think about that then. If you said amen, that means you have believed in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and you've placed your trust in Him. You're saved. If He comes back right now, you're going up with Him in the clouds. If that's your testimony today, say amen. Well, some of you aren't very excited about that. Amen. Hurry up, Pastor. It's now 11:19. I even got a stuffed up nose a little bit, and I'm getting through this, but I think we ought to be excited about our salvation. Amen. That means that if you and I put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to save us, you and I have been bought with a price. We are His, and He is ours. And there is an obedience that comes in. Now watch. For all those of you who have been in church a long time, this is not a big deal. You amen that. You get that. You agree with that. Why? Because you've been in the Word of God. You know the Bible. So you're like, yeah, absolutely. Obey God. Absolutely. Yes. Praise the Lord. That's great. That's good. For somebody who hasn't been to church very long, this doesn't sound good. Obey God? Yeah, that's okay. I'm not really the obeying type, you know what I mean? That's why I don't come to church very often. Seems like a lot of rules, a lot of regulations, a lot of things that you can't do and can't partake in. And you'll have these things called, what are they, standards or something like that. And yeah, to be honest with you, I'm just not really into that. Now, hold on for just a moment. If you are a saved, born-again believer, that means this. If you call yourself a Christian, a Christian that follows God is going to have some obedience in his life. You see, here's what I want to concentrate on for the next couple of moments. Number one is this. The obedient Christian knows God is in charge. The obedient Christian, they know who is in charge. Look with me in chapter number 6 and look at verse number 28. It says this. And it came to pass on the day when the Lord spake unto Moses in the land of Egypt, that the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, now watch what God says. I am the Lord. Speak thou unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, all of what I say unto thee. You see, God left no doubt about his sovereignty when he speaks to Moses and he says this, I am the Lord. I am the Lord. Hold on, Moses, before I say anything else, I just want to tell you this. I am the Lord. How many times in our life has God said that to us? Isn't it amazing from about February 2020, even to this very day, how much fear has come in the lives of Christians all around the globe? Since the very first moment we heard of somebody getting this COVID-19, this pandemic that took our nation, isn't it unbelievable the amount of fear that God's people has lived in over the last year and a half? How many times have we had somebody that has passed away? Or how many times have we had maybe a job threatened or a relationship threatened? Or we've gone through a valley or a very tough time? How many times over the past year, being a child of the King, has God had to sit us down for a moment? And while we lifted our head into the sky, He says this, hey child, before I say anything else, let me tell you this. I am the Lord. I am God. I am the ruler. I am the creator of the universe. I have always existed. I exist today and will always exist. Death could not defeat me. There is nothing that will ever overtake me. Friend, understand this today. I don't know what you're struggling with. I don't know what you're going through. Maybe in your life it is a real struggle each and every day. But I'm here to tell you, if you've given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, He sits us down sometimes it says this, let me just tell you, friend, let me just remind you, child, I am God, period. I'm here thankful for that, amen. Now, mom and dad, you know, it's great to have mom and dad. I saw my parents this past Monday and Tuesday, and it was great, and I love seeing them, and I know mom's tuned in right now. She's usually tuned in on Sunday mornings before she heads to church, and hey, mom. Anyways, so I love my parents. I do. I mean this. I would die for my parents. My dad is one of my heroes of the faith. And mom is just an incredible southern woman that grew up in China Grove, North Carolina. I love them. But let me put it this way. Mom and dad can't always be there for me. Now, they want to be. If I ever told them of some of the stuff that people have said about me, guarantee you my mom would be on an airplane. And buddy, you don't want to meet my mom when she's upset. And I mean, I'm 38, still wouldn't take on my mom. It's just who she is. But mom and dad can't always be there for me. Friends won't always be there for you. We get hurt sometimes. Grandma and grandpa will always be there. And the husband or wife can't always be there. But God said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. You see, the obedient Christian knows who is in charge. We know who is sitting on the throne. We understand and comprehend who keeps all of this in order. We understand who created the galaxies and the trillions of stars that are out there. We comprehend and we know, but the question would be this. Have we really settled in our mind that the fact is that God is in charge? You see, listen very carefully. One pastor said it like this. I'm afraid we've cheapened the gospel by allowing people to buy in without selling out. Excuse me. I'm afraid we have cheapened the gospel by allowing people to buy in without selling out. You see, before you and I truly can lead others to obey God, you and I must have a submissive spirit. You and I must have a spirit that God, you are in control, and that God, you rule, and that God, you reign. And before you and I move any further, we have to ask this morning, have you and I surrendered to God? That means, yes, we say, okay, we believe in God out there, and we know there's a God out there because we'll look at His creation, and look what He's done, and okay, I'm kind of religious and I dabbled in it. Let me tell you something, friend, that's good and that's great that you believe that there is a God out there, but I want to ask you a question today. Have you met His Son? His name is Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, the day that I gave my life to my Savior was the day I really started living. The day that I took my will and surrendered it to Him and said, look, I am nothing. I am just a sinner. God, would you save me? Would you come into my life? I believe that you lived and that you died and that you rose from the grave. I believe, Savior, that you live today. I'm asking you today, friend, at that moment in my life, that's when I met Him. That's when I knew Jesus. That's when my life changed. That's when I knew real joy and real peace and happiness. Not as the world gives it, but as the only God could give it. That's this. Have you surrendered your will to Him? Do you know you're saved? Okay, then. Have you surrendered your schedule to Him? Now, Pastor, thanks a lot. Go ahead. We can talk about will. We can talk about salvation. That's great. But you know I live a very, very tight scheduled life. I have that type A personality. And my iCal goes off every 30 minutes on my watch. And I just, you know how many contacts I have and how much I have to get done. And I'm glad I'm saved. Woohoo! Great. That's wonderful. But my schedule, really? Yeah. You see, we're living in this post-Christian era where everything comes before God. I've heard, Brother Habing, I've heard stories of maybe just before the millennials were on the scene, but maybe even some when I was growing up a little bit, that the lost world, the world that didn't go to church, didn't believe in God, that there was such a schedule of Christians going to church that they wouldn't even hold ball practice at public high schools on Sundays because so many people were going to be in church, they weren't going to have that many players there. Does anybody remember that day? Could you raise your hand? Okay, I'm not lying. A lot of you raise your hand. Some of you young people raise your hand. Maybe I just missed the memo or whatever, but I've heard those stories. You know the day and age we live in? Everything comes first. If we can fit God in, we'll fit Him in. We raise our kids like God is an option. God's a genie in a bottle. We can come to him when we want to. We can use him. Oh, you know what? It's supposed to be, it's going to be 61 degrees today. I just look up. 61 degrees. It's kind of sunny out. And you know, Pastor, after this, I've heard this last 3 years, after this week, it's just going to dive off. We're not going to see the 60s anymore. And so, we got to really get out there. We got to really soak up the sun. And we got to really, you know, if we can fit it in, we might be back at church. But, you know, if not, we'll catch you on live stream. Today is your living. We're going to teach our kids that weather comes before God. Friends come before God. Lake comes before God. Fishing comes before God. Hunting comes before God. Shopping comes before God. They hit 18, head to college, want nothing with God. We sit back and scratch our heads. Well, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is, I don't know what I did wrong. I'm telling you what we're doing wrong. We'll submit to God's will. We'll be obedient in salvation. We'll give our life to him. But when it comes to the rest of our life, we want pieces, the whole bag. We want to hold on to our schedules. We want to hold on to our time. God forbid, Pastor, please don't even mention money this morning. I've got friends here, and if you mention money, they left the last church because that pastor was always asking for money. Let me put it this way, friend. A pastor should not have to ask for money. It ought to be just a natural thing to be obedient to God and to give back to him what he has already blessed you and I with. Amen? Well, somebody help me out that amen is going to get super awkward in here. How about just being obedient, giving to God what's his? I really believe that at times we go through life and we think we own it. It's ours. It's for us. We got it. But you and I have to take on a Christ-like spirit. That means this. We recognize that God is in charge. Excuse me. And when we recognize that God is in charge, we are going to have a humble spirit. Just like Jesus did when he was here. And when Jesus prayed his prayer at Matthew 26 and verse number 39, when he says, not my will, but yours. It's not me, it's yours. Your will be done. What about Peter, a disciple that followed Jesus? And Jesus said in Luke 5, I want you to cast out your nets. And Peter, here's what he said, because you say so, I will let down the nets. I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to respect you. I'm going to do what you want me to do in everything, friend. Listen, watch very carefully. Whether it be in our will or schedule, priorities or our money or perhaps our attitude or our goals or our relationship with him. Watch this. We must have the attitude, God, you come first. God, no matter what, you come first. Now, hold on. I just want to say this. We sometimes hear a message like this, and some amens, it's 11:32, and okay, let's get to point number two, and we'll move on. But you know me now. In fact, it was Brother Dan Habing just texted me a little bit ago. I appreciate that text, brother. Super sweet. It was 1 year ago today that Carrie and I and our five kids flew here, and we were being interviewed to come and be on staff at Cross Point Baptist Church. I can't believe it's been a year already. That is unbelievable. 1 year today. I stood up here. I was so nervous. Oh, my goodness. I was so nervous. All y'all are staring at me. Some of you are writing down stuff. I didn't know what you were writing down. I'm like, oh. Didn't get their vote, but it's going to be okay. No. It's been a year. So if you've known me for a year now, you've known me for a year, then I just don't want to preach a message, go through, get amen, let's all head out, and we'll hit up Culver's here in just a couple minutes. Now, time out. Are we understanding what's taking place here? The task that Moses had is not easy, but it's very necessary. If God tarries 15 years, what is the generation behind us going to be like? In 15 years, none of my five kids are going to be at home anymore, which is so crazy to say. They're not going to be there. What's their hearts going to be like? Living, the world revolves around me. I'm awesome. Look at my career. Look what I've done. Wow, very successful. I got their degrees. That's good. Woo! Woohoo! Awesome, awesome. Or are they going to have this heart for God? A heart that loves him. A heart that is sold out in obedience. A heart that is so in the world and shining such a bright light that others, whether it be in college or whether it be in the neighborhood or whether it be a coworker, they're looking at their life saying, whatever they got, that's what I want. But that takes a person who knows and understands and comprehends it, friend. You and I don't have to fear. We don't have to live our lives all worried and struggled and stressed out. What's going to take place? No, we just give our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. We step out by faith in our salvation. Then we step out in faith and obedience, knowing that God is God, period. That's it, friend. He's God. How many agree with that? Say amen this morning.
You see, an obedient Christian knows God is in charge. If you're taking notes, would you write this down? Obedient Christians are on a mission. Verse number 29 says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying," look what he says, "I am the Lord." Then he says this, "Speak thou unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, all that I say unto thee." Now look up here and watch. Moses' job was to tell Pharaoh, this is a resistant audience. He was to tell Pharaoh everything. What I say to you, you tell him it all. That means this, it's a comprehensive message. Everything that God told him and everything that God's telling him, are you ready for this? It's an unpopular message. You see, God doesn't speak to you and I. We saw this in week number 3. God doesn't speak to you and I exactly the same way that He spoke to Moses and the other prophets, but He still does speak directly and clearly to us. Watch now. Through His Word. And God speaking through His Word has put you and I on a mission. Brother Unruh in the back, can you bring up a track or two from back there? I was going to grab them before I came up. I even went like this. Believe it or not, before Amy got up and sang, I totally forgot even my microphone wasn't on. I had to slip out real quick and go grab my microphone. Say, he's losing his mind. Be quiet. Okay, so understand this. You and I have been commissioned through His Word. Now watch. That you and I have a message to tell. Somebody help me out. Does that make sense today? That means this. You and I have been given somewhat of an unpopular message, if it's taken the wrong way. No, how many people love to hear, you're a sinner, you're a cheater, you deserve hell? Ooh, yes, me. Tell me that. I just love hearing it. There's nobody like that. You and I got a kind of an unpopular message to tell people. You are a sinner. You were born into this world a sinner. And if you die without God, you're going to a place called hell for all of eternity. Well, I don't like the sound of that. I know, but I guess I got to tell you because that's what God says. Understand this. We kind of have an unpopular message. But the cool thing is this. There's more to that message than just hell and fire and damnation. It's this. It's that Jesus Christ loves you and that He died for you and that He gave His only begotten Son, and that, friend, you can accept Him no matter who you are, no matter what you've done. It's forgiven. It's under the blood of Jesus Christ. You can live your life not just up in heaven for eternity, but you can live your life here knowing that somebody's got you and He's going to carry you. And friend, you and I have joy and peace and happiness. Watch this. And we've been commissioned to tell everybody else about it. What a life. Like, how incredible is that? That here is our mission. Go tell the whole world. Well, what do you want me to tell them? Tell them exactly what I'm going to tell you to tell them. That I came, I died, I gave my life, and I gave it for them. And they can have it, salvation, free of charge. Free. How many like the word free? Say amen. If you didn't say amen, something wrong with you. We all love the word free. Your salvation is free. It's a gift. And you and I have been commissioned to go out and to give it. You and I, the obedient Christian, you and I have been told, okay, here it is, just like Moses. Well, some people don't want to hear it. Some people, they throw the track back. And my coworkers have said, if I bring it up again, okay, I understand that. But now go live it. And you and I begin to live our lives. And you and I begin to live this life that is comprehending that we're not living it just for ourselves, but you and I are living it for Him. You see, the obedient Christians, they're on a mission. But the obedient Christian, they also rely on His help. Look with me here at this passage of Scripture. Look at verse number 30. Look at verse number 30 and look what it says. Chapter 6, Exodus chapter 6. Look at verse number 30. And Moses said before the Lord, "Behold, I am of uncircumcised lips, and how shall Pharaoh hearken unto me?" Now, if you've been here over the last several weeks, Don't you feel like, now be honest, look up here. Don't you feel like we've been through this? I feel like Moses, a couple chapters ago, already kind of said this. I'm not eloquent of speech. I can't say what you want me to say. I mean, to be honest, it almost looks like it's pretty close to the same wording. Constantly aware, Moses, of his own weakness, he repeated the same excuse he offered earlier at the burning bush. I can't speak. I have faltering lips. I stutter. There's no way that Pharaoh is going to listen to me. Now, I want us all to look up here for a moment. I want us to think about this. Moses, in this moment, is showing a big weakness. We could call it not great faith or maybe mistrust, or we could call him just somebody who worries all the time. Because we've already been through this. But I think what God is showing us is that Moses was really just a man who struggled just as you and I struggle. He's already been shown. Take the staff of your hand, throw it down. He's already been shown. Hey, here's miracles you're going to work. He's already been given help to go in and to be the spokesperson. You don't even have to be the spokesperson, Moses. He goes in, doesn't get the feedback that he likes. Nobody likes him. So instead of being just a man, I'm just going to walk in there. All right, God, what are we going to say to them? Because they're complaining about me, but you know, we're in this together, God. We got this. Come on, let's go. Let's charge back in there. And God, what else are you going to... No, here's what he says. Same thing. God, I hate to tell you this again. I feel like it's kind of broke a record here, but I don't have very good speech. And I can't, you know, I fail... I think I said something wrong the first time. And so, you know, now they're, not only is Pharaoh making them work harder, but look, and here comes the excuse. Blah, blah, here it comes. So I often ask myself, Brother Titus, this, why does God give that to you and I? You know, think about this. In all of the Word of God, Brother Ted, why is it that in the preserved Word, God would give us once again that verse? Think about that for a moment, would you? Why? There's a lot of other really cool stories they could have put in there. I just could have used anything. God took a whole verse and is going to once again go back to the same excuse that has already been given. Why? I think God is showing us that you and I, at times, we stumble and we fall. And sometimes it's over the same thing. Over and over again, come to church. Oh, here we go. Back up to the altar. God, forgive me again. I got mad and I said something I shouldn't have. Oh, here we go again. God, forgive me again. I thought I was over it, but I went ahead and bought a bottle and popped it open. And I got a little drunk. Oh, I feel so embarrassed, but God, forgive me. Oh, God, here we go again. Same thing. Bitterness. I know I gave it to you, but here it is. Oh, God, same thing. Something I shouldn't have looked at. Pornography got in my life once again. I looked. I cleared the history. But I don't know. Here, I just feel embarrassed. But here I am. You know what God's showing us? Is that Moses is just like you and I, friend. But in the moment of weakness that we have, whether it's sin or bitterness or gossip or pornography or drugs or alcohol or whatever it might be in our life, that over and over that anger comes up and we slip up again and we're embarrassed to tell God, here's what God says. It's forgiven. You know, how many times does God forgive us over the same thing? It's forgiven. You know, I've done this like a... I'd say like 1,000 times, it's forgiven. It's time to get obedient and move on for the glory of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How long are you and I going to sit here? How long are we going to just keep meddling? How long are we just going to keep here and just keep on? Well, I guess I'm never going to be like this person. Good grief, I just can never be like them because I already messed up this past week. I told some people I wasn't going to do this again. And, oh, Friday night was a bad night for me. And this morning I didn't want to come to church. And here it is. And to be honest with you, I just feel like maybe God has just given up on me. Let me tell you something, friend. Let me help you right now. God will never give up on you. Stop. Stop. You love, I said last week or 2 weeks ago, but I just, let's just say it again. You know what I love about an altar call? It's because it allows us to come up and to be obedient and to do business with God. We can either sit here in our little pew where we always sit, and here's the invitation. Pastor Chris and pianist, get up there. Okay. And we can sit here in our little pride and our little jealousy and our little world that we think is all good and all great. And every head bowed, every eye closed. We can sit here like this. Well, good things are up there because, boy, they really need to be up there. Oh, okay. That's good. That's good. Go around the other side because you really need this prayer time. Or we can sit back for a moment and close our eyes and actually do some business with God. Somebody help me out with an amen. About to lose my voice, and so guys, you might have to turn me up here just a little bit. But listen, don't worry, we're having church at 6 o'clock. About to whisper, we're going to have church. Now listen, watch. What I love about Moses is that he's living a real life. Watch now, he's living a life that's real. Was he always just this zealous walking there, boy, I got this, chest out. No. This man was afraid. This man had some deep issues with the way that he, with his speech. Maybe he was comparative attitude of, I'm not as my brother and I can't speak. Once again, we're just shown that he just goes back to God and brings up the same excuse. I love God's response. I don't have time to develop, but God's response is this. Look, go in. I've given you Aaron. Tell Pharaoh what I said, and just remind him what I reminded you. I am God. And friend, I don't know what you need to be reminded of today. I know what I need to be reminded of in my life. Where I get discouraged, where I get down, where you and I get heavy. I think sometimes we just need to be reminded, I'm God. For all the parents in here today, you've got a teenager or maybe somebody's married and they were your kid. And they're away from God right now. And you've come to Him so many times, you don't even know what to do anymore. You don't even know what to say. You get up there and say, God, you know what I'm going to say. What do I even do? I think sometimes we just have to get down on our knees and let God say, hey, child, let me remind you, I'm God. I got this. For those of you sitting here right now, I don't know who you are. But maybe you came in here today and you're sitting beside your wife, you're sitting beside your husband, and on the outside you're sitting there, but on the inside you can't stand them. This past week, maybe even divorce was brought up. You know, you and I need to be reminded of? We're not perfect, but we serve a perfect God. And maybe we just need to look to the heavens with holding each other's hands and let God remind us, I'm the Lord. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. For those of you, I said it last week, and I don't know why God's just going to put it on here again, but I'm just going to say it. For those of you who maybe went the last 7 days and you decided, it's done, I call it, it's quits, it's over, nobody loves me, nobody cares about me, I'm just going to commit suicide, end it all, have a funeral, bing, bang, boom, it's done, it's over. Let me tell you something, friend. You stop having those thoughts, and you be reminded today that there is a God in heaven that loves you. That died for you. For those of you in here today, it's anger, it's pride, it's jealousy, it's meanness, it's somebody's been a bully to you, it's hardly going on, it's an unpaid bill that you know you're going to get home, you're going to see that yellow piece of paper, and it's going to be turned off, or they're going to come take the house, they're going to come take the car, I don't know how I'm going to overcome this. I just know for those of you who are sitting in this room, and some doctor stood before you this past week and said, look, I'm not a God person or religious, but you really need a miracle. You've got stage 4 cancer. Or you've got this going on and this doesn't look good and this surgery may help and chemo's not going to may prolong your life. Look, I don't care who you are or what you've gone through. May you and I be reminded today when we get on our knees, here is a God that says, I am the Lord. I got you. I got you. There's not 15 verses here that says, well, here's what God did. He worked on him a little bit and took him over here and pepped him up and gave him four more staffs to use. And so he had sticks that could throw him, make a giraffe and a rhinoceros and a monkey. No, I mean, God didn't do that. You know what he said? I'm the Lord. Now get up and go do what I told you to do. Guess what Moses did? He went and kind of did that. Why? Because he was obedient. May you and I be obedient Christians. I don't know what we're struggling with. I don't know what we're going through. But I tell you this, God does. And He cares. So right now, why don't we take a moment and just cast it on Him? Why? Because He cares for you and me. He knows your name today, friend. Excuse me. He knows your name. And He's calling out to it right now.